You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week, we're focusing on algorithms in our lives and now in love.
Online dating, not a big fan of it.
Because it just seems like rejection, rejection, rejection.
We live a very busy life. It allows people to still meet someone who might be interested in them.
My parents got married off there, so...
If I was older and I didn't really have time to go out and date around.
I think Tinder is a hot mess right now.
It turned me into a kind of a sex addict.
Whatever it takes to find love, I'm constantly meeting people. Constantly.
It kind of was like a totally different dating pool than my small town. I actually did meet a boyfriend online. I mean, we ended up moving in together 6 months later, and it was really great. You know, until it wasn't. So.
It's a problem sometimes in life with too many choices.
When we create these profiles, we're sort of creating these ideals of ourselves, like the person that we want to be.
Meeting a lot of people, there are a lot of opportunity, but they are not sincere.
They would lie about everything. Oh, I'm a lawyer. Not really a lawyer. I work at, you know, the dry cleaners, which is fine.
It's going to be a totally different thing dating in the future.
Algorithms are everywhere online, but they may be at their most intimate on dating sites. Dating sites and apps are everywhere these days, even in the palm of your hand. And we've all grown accustomed to trusting these algorithms to set us up. I spoke with Christian Rutter, one of the founders of the site OkCupid, about how much faith we should put in algorithms to find us an attractive partner online.
Oh, that we can do very well. But that's different than people that you might actually want to talk to. Attractive people, that's very easy. We can just look up our 100 most attractive users.
People to whom you are attractive.
Exactly. That's a little more complicated. We try to show you people that we think we're likely that you'll talk to. Philosophically, I think after that, we believe the rest is kind of up to you, whether you're going to go on a date, whether the date goes well, whether you like the person, all that stuff. There, we can't control that. You can have a beautiful profile, be perfect on paper. You all like the same bands, all that stuff. All the boxes are checked, you know, and algorithms can only see whether boxes are being checked. But then you sit down, somebody's laugh is annoying. They remind you of your sister. You know, there's just a million things that can go wrong or right on a date that a computer is just not going to be able to capture.
So sell it to me. What can it do for me that a friend can't?
We know a lot more people than your friends. We have access to a lot more information about those people than your friends. And we can give you a way to talk to people that's relatively safe. You know, you don't have to put yourself out there. Your friend can set you up on a blind date. You got to drag your butt to the restaurant, psych yourself up, put on your clothes, you know, trim your nose hairs or whatever
hey.
It is. No offense. You know, get yourself together and decide if you're going to like this person before you've even talked. You know, online, you can browse through some people, send a few messages, send a bunch of messages, see who you hit it off with, and then kind of pick from there. And you can do that on your own time. You can do it without exposing yourself to too much rejection, although obviously rejection is part of it. It's another way that the internet has made life more convenient in some ways.
Yeah. And yet the flip side of that is that often it can magnify the rejection because you're thinking, wait a minute, isn't this computer supposed to know stuff about me? If these people who were sort of picked for me don't like me, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be considered a failing in our algorithm, but there's so many things about human beings that we don't know and therefore could never predict or try to sort for you. I'm not going to tell you that online dating has taken all the pain out of romance and made it as easy as clicking a button. But it's definitely changed it, and I think in some ways very positively, and yeah, obviously in some ways more negatively.
What about honesty? I mean, one of the sort of virtues of the internet that is often extolled is transparency, but I guess an algorithm can't screen for liars, can it?
It's all fact-checked in a certain way. Like, you know, I'm whatever, 5'10", maybe 5'11", with a little bit of stretch. And I can't sit there in my online dating profile and pretend that I'm 6'4", pretend that I'm like super muscular or whatever, that I'm a rocket scientist or some of this stuff. Because I got to meet people and be myself. You're kind of only screwing yourself. Online dating is one of the few digital things that is really meant to affect a real world outcome. You know, it's not like you're just tweeting at people, you know, in the ether. You know, you're supposed to meet in person and sleep together, get married, hate each other, who knows? But you can only misrepresent yourself so far. I might round up to 6 feet just to get over some certain thresholds, but people do that in person all the time also, you know, add money to their income, all that kind of thing.
Wear heels.
Sure, Spanx. So as online dating has become just dating, it has the same sort of problems.
When I think about the spectrum of different online dating options that are out there, there's, you know, Tinder, which mm-hmm. is basically no algorithm whatsoever. That's, is this person attractive or not? And then at the other end, maybe eHarmony, which says we can run you through a gazillion different variables and find your soulmate. Where do you guys come down, and why did you choose to do it that way?
We're probably two-thirds of the way towards Tinder, I'd say. I mean, obviously we have an algorithm that we spent a lot of time optimizing. But we really created OkCupid almost as an answer to the eHarmony way of doing things. You know, we started the site back in 2003. They were one of, if not the biggest kind of player. And we just thought it was so prescriptive. There's this long questionnaire. You've got to go through the whole thing. They've decided what is important, what isn't. You know, most famously, if you're interested in same-sex relationships, they don't want you on the site. And we made OkCupid. We wanted to have all these questions and all this stuff, but we left it open. You don't have to answer many if you don't want to. And you decide what's important to you. You weight the questions. Like, if you care about religion, give it a high rating. If you don't, don't. And then eHarmony's, I think, fatal flaw for me, and I think for a lot of people, is that at the end of all this, they give you a few people. Here are your matches today. You're five or whatever it is. And if you don't want to talk to them, tough, wait till tomorrow. You know, whereas on OkCupid, you can browse the entire site. You can kind of keep sorting, changing for yourself. Tinder does have an algorithm. It's the algorithm that's in every person's head, which is good. And that's how you ultimately are going to decide who you're going to be with. We kind of tried to compromise between the two things. We have some of the underlying question and answer mechanics of eHarmony, but we recognize, we kind of leave the final power with people.
And really, it's based on, I guess you could say, multiple algorithms, because not just what you guys wrote and coded, but also an internal preference sort of according to every individual who's on there.
Right, yeah. People give their own weights. They give their own desired answers. So in a way, we kind of made a platform for people to make their own algorithm. I mean, we don't present it like that because that would confuse a lot of people and probably cost us a lot of users who don't want to think like that. But essentially, that's what we've done.
What's your reaction to the sort of algorithm as Big Brother and or slightly demonized phenomenon? Because you're a little skeptical of data everywhere.
The thing I'm skeptical about is people treating algorithms as facts. They need to recognize, and they should recognize, they're the opinion of programmers who wrote it, right? You know, which, and like any human opinion, can be fallible. You know, for instance, just I like to bring up the Netflix example because people are a lot less invested about what movie they're going to watch. But it's basically the same thing, though. So, you know, they offer a prize to improve on their algorithm. You know, it's beatable. It always will be beatable by definition. These things will never be perfect.
Christian Rutter is a founder of OkCupid and the author of Dataclysm, Who We Are When We Think No One's Looking. Thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.